This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mak, Wong Xiaoning, and we have a Julian Ng in studios with us today.
Yes, we do. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Welcome, Julian. Now, let's also take a look today at how US markets performed, because on Friday, markets were in the green. Now, the Dow closed up 1.1%, just like the NASDAQ, up 1.1%, and the S&P 500 was also up 1%. Now, investors were digesting data from US jobs reports, which quelled fears about a recession. US employers added 128,000 jobs in October, beating economist forecasts of 89,000.
And in Asia, it was pretty mixed. The markets in Shanghai, Hong Kong and Korea were up between 0.7% and 1%, and Japan closed down by 0.33%. As Singapore SDI was unchanged, and our local market was down 0.33%.
So for more on markets this morning, we turn to Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer of Jevons Global. Thank you for joining us, Kingsley. Now, Saudi Arabia has finally kicked off what could be the world's biggest IPO, with reports indicating that the company may be valued between $1.6 and $1.8 trillion versus the original estimate of $2 trillion. Is this enough of an incentive for you to participate in the book-building exercise?
Well, certainly, I mean, it's a monster IPO, but in our view, this one's really a teaser to gauge market appetite because the listing will be on the Tuttle Wall in Saudi Arabia, the exchange there. If that's successful, and I don't think there's any reason to doubt it, the kingdom will almost certainly pursue a follow-on offering on a US exchange or another major exchange such as the London Stock Exchange. It's very hard to ignore a company of this scale, but given that the initial offering is on an exchange which we have no access to, we'll just be following it with interest. The biggest impact for us will be in connection with its sentiment for oil stocks generally in how this IPO trades.
And Kingsley, just to ask you, right, meanwhile, America has done really well, the equity market there, and the S&P 500 has hit an all-time high. Yet analysts keep slashing their 2020 estimates. What do you make of this divergence?
Well, that divergence you mentioned, it does pose risks for 2020, but we'll expect there to be a bit of a narrowing of investor interest now because we're seeing some companies report relatively good results, and as you mentioned, others are having their earnings estimates slashed. This is all happening at a time, obviously, when we've got low in interest rates, but the averages themselves look expensive. I think the key here is to be looking beneath the covers, as it were, to see the composition of the stock market as a whole, because there's a number of very expensive, or not very expensive stocks, but a number of highly rated stocks that are distorting the averages somewhat. And if we look into cyclical areas, there is actually a lot of cheap companies on the US exchange. So that's where we're really looking for opportunity, and it's quite possible that as investors shift from growth to value, it'll sustain the rally through 2020.
And last week also, Twitter saw very interesting movements. The stock was down by almost a quarter due to earnings worries. Is this a stock that you're looking at as well?
Well, at this time, we're really avoiding most of the social media advertising plays as the landscape's changing quickly. You know, there are, of course, the regulatory moves with antitrust activity, but there's also a bit of a growing backlash against some forms of advertising and activities, shall we say, on social media. And that's come to a head recently with Jack Dorsey indicating that it's his intention to disallow political advertising on Twitter. And you look, that's probably a two-edged sword. I mean, you know, Donald Trump is probably the most prominent public persona on Twitter. And, you know, the intention here is to stop political advertising. So we think that there's quite a turbulent time ahead for the social media companies as societal attitudes change and also the revenue model starts to fray at the edges, as it were.
And Kingsley, now moving away from stocks and earnings, the Reserve Bank of Australia is meeting on Tuesday. And what are your expectations here? Are you expecting them to keep rates at 0.75%?
I think that that's likely. I mean, we have to remember that they've cut three times already, and the housing market in Sydney and Melbourne is already on fire. I mean, there's already talk that we may revisit the earlier highs for housing in Australia, certainly in those two markets, as early as next year. So, look, I think it would be a bit risky to further stoke a housing boom with a fourth rate cut at this time. Of course, the economy is a bit soft, but we think the RBA will probably sit tight and keep some powder dry for an unknown event or unknown situation next year in global markets.
Thank you very much, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global in Sydney. Now, he was talking a little bit about Australia, the situation there, as in situation over in the US, Twitter stock, as well as the S&P 500, and also Saudi Aramco, which finally launched its IPO on Sunday. Now, several delays had caused investors to doubt whether the company would be able to secure their lofty $2 trillion valuation that they were looking for. And Riyadh is hoping to raise as much as $60 billion with the sale of up to 3% of the company. Now, the prospectus is, though, set to come out on November 9th, so this Saturday, and we'll only know the final offer price, the size of the listing and the valuations at the end of the book building period.
I think what investors are thinking about privately are valuations of between $1.2 and $1.5 trillion, and this is a substantial shave of that $2 trillion that Aramco is expecting. Nevertheless, this is one of the most profitable companies in the world, with over $100 billion, if not the most profitable company in the world, with over $100 billion in profits.
The risk, of course, is the oil price, right? Because as we know, it trades at a volatile range. For this year alone, you're talking about between $50 to $60 per barrel. So how does this impact Aramco's earnings? Now, if I remember correctly from reports I read, one of the things that Aramco will be doing to attract investors is to have somewhat of a consistent dividend. And if oil prices hit a certain level, then they maintain a dividend. If it falls below, they then raise the dividend payout so that you as an institutional investor, you know, you can have some clarity in terms of how much dividend you get. Otherwise, how do you negate the impact of volatile oil prices?
Yeah, they're trying to turn this into kind of a bond-like characteristic with kind of a dividend stabilization mechanism.
Yeah, it's quite clever, I have to say. But that will only last, as far as I know, till 2024. There are also incentives for their own locals to buy the stock. So if they own it for more than, let's say, 180 days, they get one additional stock for every 10 that they own.
So the other interesting thing about the Saudi Aramco IPO for me is also just the geopolitical tensions that are happening in the region, because it wasn't so long ago, only in September, that we saw attacks on two of Saudi Aramco's facilities that put something like 5% of the global oil supply completely out of commission. And they've come back to say that they've completely restored operations and it didn't impact their finances. But the fact that this happened also has already added an element of uncertainty into Saudi Aramco's future, because you never know, it could happen again. So that is another shadow overhanging the IPO. But also this morning, in some other international news, there has been some reports out of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, which reached a new peak. So operating profits reached a new high, driven by record earnings from BNSF Railroad. So its net income now stands at $52 billion, the most profitable public company in the world. So the question is now, what's next for this rather less than nimble outfit?
I think $52 billion, that's half of Aramco's profits. So if Aramco comes to the scene, Berkshire Hathaway will be relegated to the second most profitable company in the world. And with almost $130 billion in cash, they are really hard-pressed to look for assets. As they said, Warren Buffett said that he is still on the lookout for an elephant-sized acquisition, just to use up some of the cash that they're holding.
Yeah, I mean, we laugh when people have too little money. I mean, we're sad when you have too little money, and now you have too much money, it becomes a real headache for the world's largest fund manager, right? Because if you look at it in terms of what he can buy, there are roughly 55 US companies which he could invest $10 billion in, and he normally wants to keep his ownership below the 10% threshold. He already owns 13% of it and has previously bet on 8 of it. So in other words, he's running out of places to invest money in. And if you talk about valuations, right, the S&P, the Dow hit record highs. Of course, Kingsley says there are still value, there's still bargains to be found, but it's not going to be easy when you're that size.
Yeah, I think he's looking out to buy into banks and even oil companies.
Maybe Aramco.
And these are companies that investors don't favor. And you can see that from the performance of Berkshire Hathaway, only gaining about 5% this year compared to the S&P 500, 22%. So they have basically underperformed the general market.
Yes, I like the way some commentators have described Berkshire Hathaway, which is that right now they have what's called an embarrassment of money.
Yes, is it possible?
Apparently,
guilty
it is.
Of having too much money.
They just don't know. They've got so much.
It's a problem that I'd like to have. Actually,
yeah, I too. Can I be embarrassed that I have too much money, please?
I'm embarrassed that I don't have enough. Actually,
yeah, same here, Julian.
Oh well, but right now we are heading into a few messages, and then after that we'll be coming back with a look at some local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned here on the Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.